evening. The time is 8 p.m. Temperature 48 degrees.
Well, it's that time of year again. It's starting to get chilly out. Good evening. This is NTUGS. I'm located in Williamsville. Welcome to the Barrett Tech and Information Net. This net meets every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Our focus is on the technical aspects of amateur radio. Whether you're an experienced operator, a new ham, or just curious about the technology behind our hobby, you're in the right place. During this net, we're going to discuss topics such as equipment, antennas, propagations, digital modes, troubleshooting techniques, and emerging technologies in amateur radio. Although today's topic is a little bit different. The goal here is to share knowledge, learn from one another, and encourage experimentation and problem solving within our community. All licensed amateur radios are welcome to participate. That means you. Please keep transmissions concise and relevant to the technical topic at hand. When checking in, please give the club call. W2EUP will be using the club call. That's Whiskey 2 Echo Uniform Papa. Let up on your mic. Listen to ensure that you're not doubling when you're checking in. Give your call sign slowly, along with your name and your location. All right, let's get started by taking some check-ins for the Barrett Tech Technical and Informational Net. Please call W2EUP.
W2EUP. FM.
W2EUP, W2ZZA, Dave, South Troop, DeWaga, no traffic.
W2EUP, KA8BYU, Roy in West Bell.
W2EUP, N2LCJ, Tim and Chief DeWaga.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is KE2HCT, Rick in Kenmore.
W2EUP. W2AJR, Andy, Chickawaga.
W2EUP. KE2FLX, Carl, Chickawaga.
W2EUP. KE2GCW, Greg in Snyder.
Kilo, Kilo, 4, Juliet, Juliet, Kilo, John, Hammer.
W2B, WE2, OLD, Bud, North Tonawanda, Mobile.
W2EUP. W2EUP, KC2, LEF. Ray in Guestville.
All right, let's hold it up right there. We're going to welcome W2BYJ. That's Thomas. He's logging for me tonight. Good evening, Thomas. W2ZZA. Dave, good evening. Thanks for checking in. KAABYU. Hello, Roy. N2LCJ. Tim, good evening. KE2HCT. Good evening, Rich. W2AJR. Good evening, Andy. KE2FLX. Carl. Hello, Carl. KE2GCW, our Meshtastic expert. Greg, nice to see you. Or nice to hear from you. KK4JJK. Welcome aboard. Bud, WE2OLD. Nice to see you. Or hear from you, too. And KC2LEF, Ray in Guestville. Thanks for checking in, Ray. Any other check-ins for the Barra Information and Technical Net? Please call W2EUP now.
W2EUP. This is K2LED, Bob, Tonawanda.
And K2LED, Bob in Tonawanda. Good evening, Bob. Thanks for checking in tonight. So, I have a a special prize for everyone. If everybody or whoever gets perfect attendance in the month of November will receive an original. Well, they'll be put into a drawing to receive one of the original Baofeng UV5Rs. All right, I'm holding the applause here. Let's see here. Let's go on to tonight's topic. Let me pull it up here. We're going to talk a little bit about ADS-B. Now, if you don't know what ADS-B is, ADS-B is a way for airplanes to keep track of where they are. So you can find their speed, their location, you know, the latitude and longitude, their altitude. And what you could do is you can actually capture these signals right here at your house and actually help out the airplane network so that the airport can pinpoint exactly where these airplanes are. All right, ADS-B, or Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, is a system used by aircraft to transmit their position, altitude, speed, and other flight data. With simple receiving setup, amateur radio operators and aviation enthusiasts can collect this data and share it to networks like FlightAware, FlightRadar, or ADS-B Exchange. If you go to Bera-Tech, that's Bravo Alpha Romeo Romeo Alpha Dash Tango Echo Charlie Hotel.com and click on the weekly topic, or you can scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can click on the topic at the bottom of the page, or you can click it at the top of the page, and then you can follow along with me with the PowerPoint demonstration. Basic ADS-B station typically includes an RTL SDR USB receiver, which pretty much everybody's got. If you don't, it's a really cool doohickey to pick up for about, they're about $30 right now. Or a purpose-built ADS-B dongle. An antenna tuned to 1090 megahertz, so that's 1.09 gig. It's very easy to make a homemade antenna, a collinear antenna for ADS-B, and you'll be amazed what you can pick up with a homemade antenna. You need a small computer such as a Raspberry Pi running feeder software. Some setups also track 978 megahertz. They really don't use that very often, but if you want to, you can try to pick that up too. We're going to ask a couple questions. Do you have an ADS-BC receiving station at your house? What kind of antenna do you use, if you do have one? And which network do you prefer? I'll tell you a little bit how my setup is in just a second here. All right, so building an ADS-B receiver. Scroll down to the bottom of that page that we're on there, where I just read the top paragraph, there's a PowerPoint slide there. If you click the button on the bottom right-hand side, you can use that button to make everything bigger, so it's one big screen.
Check, break.
Go break.
K2LED. Hey, Jeremy, I've refreshed the Bera-Tech page several times, and I'm still just showing the last week's topic.
Okay, if Thomas had that problem again last week, if you hold shift down and press refresh at the same time, you'll see this week's topic.
Android tablet.
Toss your cookies and your history.
All right, thanks. Back to that K2LED.
Sorry, Bob. All right. We're on the front page here. Now, I did get a little bit of help from Joe Spears back in 2024. He actually put this nice PowerPoint together. I'm just going to present it to you guys because it's exactly what I was looking for. So what we're going to talk about is building an ADS-B receiver, sharing data with FlightAware ADSB Exchange and Flight Radar 24. Now there's probably another 10 or 15 more aggregators out there, and there's a nice little piece of software that you can tie into your ADSB receiver so that you can feed to all those aggregators. It does have to be installed on Linux. It's a little bit more complicated than just installing one of the client, the real easy to install clients on your computer, but it also gives you a whole bunch of cool stuff that you can look at and see. Moving on to slide number two. Let me see if I can move on. What is ADSB? We're going to talk about it a little bit. What it is, I pretty much has explained it already. Importance and benefits of ADSB in aviation. We know that right now we have radar, right? But with radar, it's not going to tell you the name of the plane, the flight number, the actual right on latitude and longitude, the altitude, the speed. There's also a couple other things, pieces of telemetry data that they stick in there too. ADSB is a technology that allows aircraft to broadcast their position, velocity, and other data. It's a crucial component in modern aviation for improving safety and efficiency. We don't want planes crashing into each other with what we, the amount of people that we have flying today. On to slide number four. It's a nice little map, or actually it's a cartoon of how ADSB works. So basically we have a group of ground stations, and these ground stations, some of them they talk to each other to precisely pinpoint where that plane is in conjunction with satellite and other ADSB receivers from other planes. Moving on to slide number five. Let's have a look at what we can start building before we start building. The three major aggregators are FlightAware, ADSB Exchange, and Flight Radar 24. Flight Radar 24 is pretty cool. That's the one I like to use when I'm looking up my own statistics and information, even though they're being kept here on a server, but they really put it together very nicely. Flight Radar 24 will tell you, you know, how many miles you're getting out, how far your antenna is reading, how many planes you're seeing per day, how many messages you're receiving per day. It was really cool because I had upgraded my antenna and added a preamp. And when I upgraded my antenna and added a preamp, you could see how many more planes that I was picking up and the rate of messages that I was receiving greatly increased. Moving on to slide number six. What do you need to get started for ADSB? Most of you probably just have maybe a Raspberry Pi kicking around somewhere. If not, maybe an old computer, that would work too. You need at least a Raspberry Pi Model 3B or a 4 recommended for better performance. When I started out, I used a 3. It worked no problem. Actually, it worked great. You'll need a USB dongle, an RTL SDR, or a FlightAware Pro Stick. The FlightAware Pro Stick, I think right now, is going for $49.99, and the RTL SDR version 4, I think, is going for about the same price. In my personal opinion, I would go with the RTL SDR just because it's more versatile. You can use it for other purposes, too. An antenna, 1.09 gig antenna. I made my own, and that worked pretty well. Actually, it worked really well. I hung it from a tree outside in the back, and it was just a collinear antenna. You can look for do-it-yourself ways to make antennas online. Yeah, it worked very, very, very well. Since then, I've upgraded to, I think it's an 8 dB gain collinear antenna, fiberglass collinear antenna. And I just ordered a new antenna that I'm going to try out. Actually, Tim N2LCJ turned me onto it on eBay. There's a gentleman selling them for about $25, which was pretty killer. You'll need a power supply, 5 volts, 2.5 amps power supply, which is basically your typical wall wart for your Raspberry Pi.
WHKS, a Bella repeater.
You'll need a micro SD card, at least 8 gigs. I think the All-Star node runs on a little bit more than 8 gigs. And, you know, right now, micro SD cards are so inexpensive, I would probably stick in something that's 16 gigs or more, to be honest with you. You'll need some cables, a USB cable for a dongle, the Ethernet cable, unless you connect it up through Wi-Fi. Moving on to slide 7. Some recommendations, Raspberry Pi 4, 8 gigs with a power cord in case. Yeah, if you want it to be speedy, that's what you want. But you're really just gathering data. You're not really using that Raspberry Pi. So it's gathering data for you and posting it onto FlightAware or whichever aggregator you're sending it to. So you're not really going to be doing much as is logging into that Raspberry Pi. You're going to set it and forget it. An antenna with 5.5 dBi or more, an N-type female connector. I'll tell you what, there is a ADS-B antenna that's made out of wafer board on Amazon. And what I did is it's about 12 inches long. I know this one says 26 inches, but the one I have is about 12 inches long. I think it was about $20, right? And what I did is I had a piece of PVC tubing, and I stuck that wafer board into the PVC tubing, PC board, wafer board, into the tubing and sealed it up, and silicone and SMA connector on the outside of the PVC on the outside. And that worked great until I upgraded my antenna. Let's see here. For recommendations, again, we just talked about the difference in the FlightAware and the RTL SDR dongle. Moving on to hardware. If you go look at slide 8, in the middle there, that's a picture of the SDR dongle for ADS-B exchange. It looks very similar to an RTL SDR dongle. Probably the same stuff inside. But there you go. There's an antenna on the left. It's not very big antenna at all. It's actually not very intrusive at all. And believe it or not, with that little antenna there, you're going to pick up airplanes, I don't know, from all the way to Albany, out east, and as far west as Detroit. You'll be very surprised on how far you can reach, or the planes can reach to you. The setup, moving on to slide number 9. So that's a picture. That is a picture of a Raspberry Pi with the FlightAware dongle. Plugged in with the USB adapter. There's no case on that Raspberry Pi. And pictured in there, too, you can see the heat sink. That's very important that you put the heat sink on there. And a picture of the antenna in your attic. That setup right there, very non-intrusive. Neighbors aren't going to see it or anything. In fact, that antenna is green, so if you stuck it in a tree, that nobody would have be able to really see it unless you told them it was there. Slide number 10. Setting up the hardware. Very easy to set up. If you go onto FlightAware's website, there's an image. You download the image and flash it with the Raspberry Pi flashing software. very, very, very easy to use. If you don't want to use a Raspberry Pi as your aggregator, like I have a regular PC that I've got my RTL SDR dongle plugged into, and then that goes outside to my 9 dB collinear antenna, but in between there, right at the base of that 9 dB antenna, I have a preamp. And that when I installed the preamp, that preamp greatly increased my range. I do not have a SAW filter on there yet, but I'm assuming that if I put a SAW filter on there, I'll even get better range. Installing the ADS-B decoding software, so like I said, you can either use the Raspberry Pi with the FlightAware or another image, or you can use a PC and use something called Dump 1090 on your PC, and then with that Dump 1090, I feed to my Linux box, which sends all the flight data to the aggregators. I also have my, what is it called? It's the Dump 1090 sending the plane information to my APRS map. That's another thing you can do. You can take your ADS-B data and place it on your APRS map. So if you're using YAC, ZASTR, or APRIS-32, there's a way that you can take all the airplane data and dump it into your APRS program so that you can see, ships, planes, and APRS stations. Lots of objects. Let's see here. Moving on to slide 11, installing the software. Flashing the micro SD card. We already talked about that. Installing ADS-B decoding software, if not using a pre-built image. So if you're if you fire up your Raspberry Pi and you don't use one of the images provided by FlightAware, FlightRadar, or any of the aggregators, and you can just put in, you see there, sudo apt-get install PiAware, and that'll get you going. Just follow the instructions as the program's installing. They're very easy questions. Pretty much anybody can answer them, and if you get stuck, just give me a buzz. I'll be able to help you. Moving on to slide 12, sharing data with FlightAware. You need to set up an account, register your receiver. Once you register your receiver and set up an account, then you can start sending information to FlightAware. It's not just you set up your Raspberry Pi and it starts sending stuff to FlightAware. You do have to send them a set up an account and get a key from there that you're going to put into a configuration file on your Raspberry Pi. Sounds complicated. It's really not. It's very easy. Moving on to slide number 13, sharing data with ADS-B Exchange. Same thing. You just follow the instructions on installing the feeder. Flight Radar 24, same thing. There's a script they ask you to install after you've boot up your Raspberry Pi. Put in your keys, and you're good to go. Let's see here. Optimizing your setup. We're on slide number 15. Let me wait one. Slide number 15, optimizing your setup. Antenna placement tips. Placing your antenna as high as possible and clear of obstructions for the best reception. Outdoor placement is ideal. Okay. So, yeah, that's sort of true. But if you check out Flight Radar 24 or the ADS-B Exchange, they like to have your antenna exactly at like 20 feet. That's their recommendation. Filters and amplifiers. The SAW filter is available on Amazon or RTLSDR.com. And then the preamp too. They're both about, I think they're around $30 or $40 each. I mean, not that you need those though. You can get by perfectly fine with just a SDR dongle and an antenna. You'd be amazed what you can pick up. Monitoring and troubleshooting, like I said earlier, after I had upgraded my antenna, you can go look on Flight Radar, Flight Aware, ADS-B Exchange, and see your statistics. And you will be amazed after you add a preamp or a filter on how many more messages that you're receiving. It really does make a difference. Why share your ADS-B data? Slide number 16, you want to contribute to our global networks. By sharing your data, you contribute to global flight tracking networks, enhancing the accuracy and coverage of aviation data. We want to know where those planes are. It helps the air traffic controllers to know where they are. Access to premium features. So if you decide to feed to any of these aggregators, they usually give you a premium account for free. Yes, they give you a premium account for free. So all the nice features that are available on those three different websites, if you become a feeder, they will give you all those cool features, like as far as, I don't know, they've got weather, they have AirMets, they have all different types of information that pilots can use and the average person can use too. Supporting the aviation community. Help support the aviation community, researchers, and enthusiasts who rely on accurate ADS-B data for their work. Now, when I first started with my ADS-B receiver, I had originally set it up, I think it was during COVID, and I thought, there is no way I'm going to be able to pick up anything. And I stuck my RTL SDR into my laptop, hooked up an antenna, and I started receiving airplanes right away. I was pretty much hooked ever since that. Let's see. Further reading and research resources. We are on slide 17 of 19. There's some guides on how to set up the different feeders. You can click on those links at your own leisure and explore. Moving on to slide 18, here's a little bit more information about antennas, where you can obtain some of the modules needed, and how to build your own. On to, let's see here, number 19. 19 questions, and we've got the Roadrunner there with the airplane and the Wile E. Coyote. Yes, so if you guys have any questions, please feel free to ask any questions. Don't hesitate. That wraps up our presentation for this evening right here at around 8:28. I'm going to pause for just a second here and see if we picked up any more check-ins. Any more check-ins for the Barra Technical and Information Net, please call W2EUP now.
W2EUP. KD2TFB, Kilo Delta 2 Tango, Foxtrot Bravo, Junji Dwan.
Welcome to KD2TFB, Joe and Chitawaga. Thank you very much for joining. If you're late to join us, today we were talking about ADS-B and how airplanes are tracked. And we were talking about perfect attendance for the month of November. For the month of November, if everybody checks in every week for the month of November, we will be giving a UV5R to a lucky winner. So you'll be put into a drawing. Okay, KD2TFB, let's see here. We've got, let's start at the top of the list. Thomas, W2BYJ, thank you for logging tonight. What do you have for us tonight? Do you know anything about ADS-B and tracking aircrafts?
Repeater station WA2HKS.
Yeah, the announcement got to the mic before I did. I haven't really ever thought much about tracking airplanes. Not the biggest thing I've ever thought about, though, with the mesh testing being increasingly big thing, and the people that run nodes on their airplanes, I thought a little bit about it. Thanks for the presentation tonight. Good one. Maybe I'll do it sometime in the future, but it's not something I'm immediately interested at the moment. W2BYJ, back to net.
All right, yeah, thanks, Thomas. Yeah, COVID got me to buy, I think I've got like 5 SDR dongles, and each one of them is doing something, aggregating something. So I'm a big guy in picking up what's in the air out there and sharing that data with folks. W2ZZ Alpha, Dave in Cheektowaga. What do you have for us this evening, Dave?
Hey, good evening, Jeremy. W2EUP, W2ZZA, Dave in South Cheektowaga. Well, thanks for sending it back to me. ADS-B, my only experience is the accumulated data on FlightAware, which, of course, is a handy tool to use if you're traveling or have loved ones that are traveling as well, and you want to keep up with their flight numbers. It's quite amazing when you look at the entire continental United States, how many aircraft are actually in the air at one moment. It's quite impressive. And it's also interesting to look at the similar data for ships. I'm not sure if it's reported the same way, but the data for ships in the oceans and lakes and canals is equally as fascinating because of the volume and the pathways they take. And it's a side note here, and it's a little bit off topic, but ships at sea seem to keep this 10-mile spacing all the way across the Atlantic, all the way across the Pacific to the Orient, and Atlantic to Europe, places like the Netherlands, and the big port cities and so on. There's a constant stream of ships about 10 miles. If you had a 10-foot stride, you could walk across the water on these ships. Back to net control.
Yeah, Dave, absolutely. Thank you very much for that. Yep, I'm also aggregating data for AIS. So that's the ship for vessels or ships. They use something called AIS. And it's very similar to ADS-B, although it's on, I think it's on 161 megahertz instead of up in the gigahertz range. And, I mean, we don't have much going on here in Buffalo, mainly because in the wintertime the lake freezes. But, yes, we do see some cargo ships coming in and out of the ports here in Buffalo, and then some pleasure crafts as well. As well as anything that usually comes into the Welland Canal, you can see as well. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate your information. Roy, KAABYU, out there in Blaisdell. Roy, what do you have for us this evening? Probably are busy with your friends there. Give us a call when you get back. Tim, N2LCJ in Cheektowaga, right there next to the airport. Tim, your experience with ADS-B.
Hey, good evening, Jeremy Nall and 2LCJ. I haven't had any direct experience as far as having my own tracker, but I've used the Flight Radar 24 extensively. And the interesting thing about that is I used it back when operations first started between Russia and Ukraine, and it was really interesting to watch the flight zones and watch the aircraft and helicopters that were casing the perimeter of Ukraine. And whenever there's something going on in the world, you can really see what's going on. And what's really interesting is when you find aircraft that don't have any designations, and that gets pretty interesting. And as well, I hadn't realized that the flight paths a lot of the aircraft take actually go up over the. Oh, sorry, I timed out my radio. But I had one question. Is there any indication of how many people locally have such a setup? Does that show on any of the services?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I was just going to direct you folks to go. If you go to n2ugs.com, and the third link down under station n2ugs is the live ADSB X feed. It's the third link down, and if you click on that, it's going to show them pretty much all the planes that I'm receiving here at my house. But if you look on that map, they're called MLAT stations. So my station is going to communicate with a station that is close to mine to make sure that the airplane information is correct. So you'll see a bunch of green dots on that map, and each green dot means that the data is being aggregated together and then making sure that all the data is correct. So, yes, if you go to N2UGS, go to the third link down, N2UGS.com, go to the third link down to live ADSBX feed. That will show you all the local stations in Buffalo. I think right now I'm about 23 in all the stations in New York State. I'm the 23rd most feeder as far as data, and I think I'm a few thousand in the world. But yes, there's rankings there too. So yeah, it's like a little game. Let's see if I can get my station to receive more aircraft data than your neighbor. Hi. Let's see here. Do you have anything else, Tim? Go ahead.
No, that was a great presentation. I got another use for the SDR dongle, which I still have to figure out one of these days, and 2LCJ.
Yeah, those little things are pretty versatile. There's a lot you can do with them. That RTL SDR dongle that I bought during COVID is what got me back into amateur radio. Let's see here. KE2HCT. Rich in Buffalo, your experience with ADSB. Let us know, Rich.
Thank you, Jeremy. WTUP, this is KE2HCT, and I have absolutely no experience with it. I'm just amazed at the amount of information that you guys get together, and a great presentation, and I'll definitely look into it. Thank you.
All right, Rich. Yeah, this is a cool little project that anybody can get into and contribute to the community. It really doesn't require much equipment to get started. Andy, W2AJR, next to the airport. What do you have for us tonight, Andy?
Well, good evening, Jeremy. Another outstanding presentation. And my only question is, where do I buy RTL SDRs in bulk? The only experience I have with it is when I'm actually tracking a flight looking for a loved one in the air or a friend or whatever. I'm curious as to, and I've actually tracked myself once or twice, during a flight when there was internet access anyways. So that's it for me. Back to you. Thanks. 7-3, everybody.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. Yeah, another thing that Tim had brought up earlier is you can track all the airplanes, right? So some of the airplanes, if you go to FlightAware, you're not going to see them flying on FlightAware because they block their ID number. But if you're aggregating the information yourself, you will be able to see those airplanes with the blocked tail numbers. And if you aggregate to FlightAware, they also share the blocked tail numbers with you. Just keep that in mind when you're wanting to see where Elon Musk is. Let's see here. Carl, KE2FLX in Buffalo. Carl, what do you have for us this evening? Okay, Carl, we'll get back to you. Or if, just break in there if you hear us. I'll give you a shot there. Greg, KE2GCW from W2EUP. Greg, what do you have for us today?
W2EUP, this is KE2GCW. And I have used Flight Radar 24 to track flights in the past. During COVID times, I was quite curious about all these helicopters that were flying overhead. And it turned out that people were shipping a lot of their goods across the border, and they were taking helicopters over to the Buffalo airport in order to get their vacation started down in Florida. And so it was interesting to track that. I have not used ADS-B yet myself, but I did just pick up a RTL SDR, and I've got a Raspberry Pi, so I plan on setting that up real soon. I actually have the RTL SDR in the window. I just got to plug it in.
Cool, Greg. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Yeah, there's you might want to look into there's a piece of software. It's on GitHub. It's called ADSB Feeder. And with that software takes your RTL SDR dongle, takes the feed from the RTL SDR dongle, and then it sends it to ADSB LOL, Fly Italy, AV Delphi, Plane Spotters, ADSB FI, HP Radar, Airplanes Live, Flight Radar 24, FlightAware, AirNav, Plane Finder, ADSB Hub, OpenSky, and SDR Map. Those are just to mention a few. There's more out there, too. And then ADS-B Feeder also offers a way for you to connect AIS, what Dave was talking about with the ships. So it's a pretty nifty little piece of software. It gives you a map to plot the planes, and it has great statistics on there. It makes really pretty graphs, I'll tell you that. Let's see here. Greg, thank you very much for checking in tonight. KK4, JJK, John, in Apple Springs. How you doing this evening? Please pick it up. What's your experience with ADS-B?
He said in the AIM window he had to run KD2TFP.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joe. All right, moving along right here. WE2OLD, Bud, good evening. Your experience with ADS-B? Putting you guys to sleep out there. Ray, KC2LEF, good evening, Ray. Your experience with ADS-B, let us know.
Good evening, this is Ray, KC2LEF. Well, I have absolutely zero experience with it. I thought it was a lot more complicated than this. So it's kind of given me ideas. Just what I need, another thing to look into. Have a good evening, Mr. AKC2LEF.
Yeah, Ray, it's a great little project to get involved with. It really doesn't take much time. I mean, probably an afternoon to put everything together and start aggregating. And then when you see those planes pop up on your screen and how much data you're getting, it's pretty impressive. Bob, K2LED. I hope you were able to pick up today's PowerPoint with the refresh. Bob, take it away.
This is K2LED. Yeah, it took about 20 minutes to load. So while it was trying to load, I tried to open it up on a computer that's never been to the site, and I just got spinning circle. But it did load on the tablet, but it took about 20 minutes. ADS-B, that is one of the permanent tabs open on my tablet, and I check it often. And interesting, that's how I found out about that really bad tour bus trip.
449 megahertz. The WA2HKS repeater.
Heading to the thruway from all different locations. And about an hour later, then the news started breaking. So that was kind of interesting. And I just see we got a United Airlines heading over South Buffalo, Cheektowaga right now. He's going to make the turnaround to land at Buffalo, Buffalo Airport. So it's kind of neat to see what's up there. There is a Facebook group that monitors unique aircraft, and they highlight some of the most watched flights, and a lot of times you'll see them pointing out some military flights that turn on their ADS-B. But yeah, it's one of the tabs I popped through several times. If I hear, I'm right in the flight path, so if I hear something going over my house, I'll quick turn it on, see what's flying by. So that's all I have, Key to LED, back to net.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Apologize for the website there. There is some interesting aircraft that fly around. And this was one of the other projects that I might have been thinking about working on. Maybe Greg could help me out a little bit with it. That if one of those interesting airplanes do fly overhead here, it would trigger a notification on my Mishtastic node, and it would sort of give me a notification, or it would give me a notification, and then, hey, I'll keep my eyes peeled for it. Something to do in the future. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. Mike, KC2YTJ, good evening. Your experience with ADS-B, let us know. Okay. Oh, I'm not reading the notes here. He's just a check-in from the from NetLogger. Let's see here. Joe, KD2TFB. Joe, good evening. And your experience with ADS-B. Have you seen any interesting planes flying around?
Well, no. I have very little first-hand experience with ADS-B. I have visited the flight radar site a few times now and then, and I have heard occasional reference to it on the aviation YouTube channels that I follow, like Flight Chops, for example. I wish I knew more about it, and yes, the website had definite problems earlier, but it's loading okay now, and I was having some trouble earlier today loading Microsoft sites, so there's a little bit of web freakiness all around, you know. KD2TFB, back to net control.
KD2TFB from W2EUP. Yeah, Joe, I was experiencing the same thing in our office today. some things that would take just a fraction of a second to load, was they were taking about 3 seconds. And boy, did that 3 seconds throw everybody off in the office. Thanks, Joe. KD2TFB. Appreciate that. All right, we have N4NJJ. He logged in by the web, possibly in and out. Bill, are you in there tonight? If you are, take it away. All right. I guess Bill's busy at the moment. All right, so we're going to open it up for check-ins again. Any other stations out there wishing to join the BARA Technical and Informational Net? Remember, if you're not a BARA member, smash that join button on the top of our website. Fill out the online form and send your registration monies via PayPal. We made it very easy for you to do that. So like I said, we're going to open it up one more time here. For any other stations wishing to join, please call W2EUP now.
W2EUP. KE2AAC, Andrew Clarence. W2EUP. W2EUP, N2FTW. Dan, pedestrian in Kenmore.
W2EUP. BC2XT, Rick Tonawanda. I had an emergency, sorry, but I did get back home in time to make the net.
All right, welcome to KE2AAC, Andrew out there in Clarence. Andrew, you're like right underneath the flight path, so you must hear some planes coming in. N2FTW, welcome aboard. Dan, nice to hear from you. And Rick, no worries. We're glad to have you here, KC2XD. Let's see, let's take it back up to the top here. Andrew, KE2AAC, your experience with ADS-B, let us know.
Oh, I was kind of halfway through setting it up a few months ago, but then I was having problems getting the RTL-SDR to pass through the USB port for it in my virtual machine. But you know, it's neat, and yeah, I am pretty close to the glide slope for the landing for one of the runways where I work at the flower shop with Luke. The flower shop is literally right underneath the glide slope, and they fly right over there.
Ah, I'm glad that you mentioned that, Andrew. It was something I wanted to talk about. There is a new piece of software out there. It's on rtl-sdr.com, and what it will do is it will show the planes landing at KBUF, that's our airport, Buffalo Niagara International Airport, and it will show the glide slope of the planes actually landing in real time. The software is written partially in Japanese, but I was going to give it a try because it looks really, really cool. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Andrew. Let's see here. Dan, N2FTW. Dan, pedestrian mobile in Kenmore. Portable. Pedestrian portable in Kenmore. Dan, take it away. What your experience with ADS-B?
None whatsoever.
All right. Thank you, Dan, for that. Greatly appreciate it. We'd like to get you involved. yeah, Dan, we'd like to get you involved for sure. Rick, KC2XD, take it away, Rick. Do you have any words for the net? Your experience with ADS-B? Maybe you have some information for the BARA members and future BARA members. Go ahead, Rick.
Yes, good evening to everybody on the KC2XD. I had a family member get sick, and it was more of a big deal than it probably should be. I just got back home here. But anyways, I can listen to Ross. Anybody that knows Ross, he records all this for us. If you're on his emailing list, this and the Ronnie Net, so you can always listen to it. I probably will do that. Or you can go on the TechNet site here and read the script and everything, so it's a good feature. I've never used it, so I'll have to find out more. Back to Net, KC2XD.
All right, Rick, thank you for that. Yeah, every net here has been recorded, thanks to Ross, KB2TIN, and Ross will send up the recording, and then I'll take that recording and put it on the bottom of today's topic. So if you want to go back and review what the topic was, what we were talking about, you can follow along with the PowerPoint right along with the audio. That's great. All right, Rick, you're at the bottom of the list now. Any other stations that I may have missed that already checked in, that came back, call now, or any new stations, please call now. W2EUP is the call.
W2EUP. KD2TFB recheck.
Go ahead there, Joe. KD2TFB from W2EUP.
Yeah, as a kind of a side note, aviationweather.gov was actually inaccessible earlier today. That's kind of an important website for pilots to get their weather information. Anyhow, I also, excuse me, particular for Buffalo Airport, it has runways 23-5 and 14-32. And the way runways are numbered is you take the magnetic heading of the runway and you simply to the nearest 10 degrees. So runway 23 is at 230 degrees approximately. I think the current magnetic offset is about 10 degrees. Same thing with runway 5. You'd be heading at 50 degrees and 140 and 320 for the other. There's two crisscrossing runways, and, you know, they come in pairs, like 523. It all depends upon which way you're going, whether you're going northeast to southwest or southwest to northeast. KD2TFB back to net control.
Yep, good piece of information, Joe. So when you're landing on the runway and it's that two-digit number or that one-digit number, that's the heading of the runway. If you add a zero to it, so 230 for runway 23. Yep, that's the way it works. Let's see here, KD2TFB. Any other stations wishing to join the BERA Technical and Information app, please call W2EUP now. All right. I just want to remind everybody that the BERA Technical Committee meets the first Thursday of the month at the Bosse Center on Potter Road in, I guess it would be West Seneca. We'd love for you to join. It starts at 7 p.m. We got a good group of people that meet there every month. Ted's been giving great presentations on how this wonderful repeater system works, and actually Greg, he's been there quite often too with Meshtastic, and we've been discussing some integrations with our system here in Meshtastic for the future for telemetry. So if anybody's interested in helping us out or just talking tech, please come to those meetings. We'd love to have you. One second here. All right. Before we close tonight's session for the Barrett TechNet, I'd like to thank all 19 stations for checking in this evening. Not too bad.
Your comments and discussion help us make this a valuable learning experience for all of us. Special thanks to our guests and those who shared their knowledge this evening. Remember, the TechNet meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Bearer system on the 444 repeater and those that are linked to it. Each week we feature a new technical topic for discussion. We encourage everyone to continue experimenting, asking questions, and sharing your experience with the amateur radio community. And if you have a special topic that you'd like to discuss here on the net, please let Rick, KC2XD, or myself know, and we'd love to have you as a guest speaker. This is N2UGS, Net Control, for tonight's Bearer TechNet, now returning the WA2HKS repeater system back to normal amateur use. 7-3 all, have a good evening. Glad everybody showed up. That was great. Greatly appreciated. Good night, all. 7-3. N2UGS is now clear.
Good evening. The time is 9 p.m. Temperature 48 degrees. This is amateur repeater station WA2HKS.
Nice job, Jeremy. W2ZZA 73.
Thanks, Dave. 73.
I would suggest my offer of explaining Netlogger might be done sooner rather than